You're listening to audio from New Life Church in Decatur, Georgia. For more resources or messages, check out newlife-atl.org.
Well, are you still standing? Oh, it's been a long year. But look at your neighbor and say, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. The song says, He made a way. I don't know why, but He did. I don't know how, but I'm grateful. The bottom line is this: you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it, but He did anyway. And we should be ever so grateful. I think sometimes when you come through year after year after year, you take for granted that there are some folk who didn't make it through the year. You take for granted that there were some folk just like you who made the wrong decision and died in a car wreck. You made the same decision. You picked up the phone when you should not have. But for whatever reason, God had you to lift your head up and get control of your car. I don't know why. I don't know why. But I'm so grateful. So grateful that He did. So today, our pastor, thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. The elders and all of you God's people, my wife Laverne and our children and family. I just want to share with you just a few things about making your journey count. As you bring this year to a close, you reflect upon all that you've gone through, and as you anticipate all that you will experience next year, I want to encourage us through God's word that we need to make our journey count. Make your journey count. There are many among us, many of us used to be in our journey, but we were just wandering like we were in the wilderness. I want to encourage and exhort all of us today, every soul in this building, to make your journey count. You say, how do you make your journey count? I'll say it to you this way. Make your journey count by knowing God. Make your journey count by knowing God. I want every soul that hears my voice today, leave not here today without knowing who He is. I can assure you today, your journey will be meaningless if you don't know who He is. Your journey will not count if you don't know who He is. So what I'd like to do, if you will, I want to go to Genesis, the 28th chapter, and I want to talk from the experience of Jacob. The experience of Jacob. But out of all the points that will be made today, I want all of us to purpose in our heart to make our journey count. Make this year count. Make this day count. Make your week count. Make your life count. Make the decade count. Now, you won't hear me today talking about wealth, amassing power, giving yourself a big name, pictures on billboards. You won't hear that today. But what you will hear today is that God has chosen you to make a difference in your life. And it's up to us to receive His choice for our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You for Your word. We pray today that You would allow Your word to be sown in good ground. May it be sown with clarity. May it be understood. May the minds perceive that which You are speaking to us today. Father, allow the word to increase in our lives. Allow it to bring forth fruit and allow that fruit to remain. Father, we thank you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis, the 28th chapter. I'm going to read many of the verses, so I want you to just follow along with me very quickly. Genesis, the 28th chapter, verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Skip down to verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he lay down in the place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Psalms 9 and 10 tells us that they who know God's name will put their trust in him. They who know God's name, that word "know" means they who are intimately experienced, acquainted with the name of God, they will put their trust in him. So here we have Jacob, around 40 years of age, the twin, his twin being Esau. And all we know about Jacob up until this point is he was born as a twin. He was the second child. It was prophesied that the youngest child would be served by the older child. And every incident that we have of Jacob up until this point is about deception. The first one, Jacob used his influence to basically steal the birthright from his twin brother. The second incident surrounds Jacob's mother, where she basically schemed with him to receive the blessing from Isaac. So for 40 years, all we know about Jacob is he liked dwelling in tents. He took the birthright from his brother. And he stole the blessing. You have to wonder, did Jacob really know who God was? He's the grandson of Abraham, but how many of you know you can be the grandson, the grandchildren of many a great people and not know who God is? You can be the children of many renowned and people full of faith and still not know who God is. Sometimes we're a little bit hard on Jacob because he's known as a deceiver. But look at your neighbor and say, we are Jacob. We are Jacob. Jacob had a flesh just like the rest of us. Jacob had his flaws just like the rest of us. Jacob had his mama who had her issues just like the rest of us. Come on here. See, the scripture says that Isaac preferred Esau, but Rebekah preferred Jacob. So she did whatever she could do within her natural means to ensure that her favorite got the blessing. Now, I find it odd that when they were in her belly, that she was concerned that there was a struggle seemingly going on in her. So she went to God in prayer, and God spoke to her and said that you've got two manner of people in you. And the oldest one is going to serve the younger one. I wonder, did she ever tell Isaac what God told her? Whether she did or she didn't, she used that revelation from God. She interpreted it in the way that she did, but for whatever reason, she thought that through her schemes and through her actions that her son would be blessed. Now, I want you to know very clearly here that Jacob, he got the birthright and he got the blessing from his father. But if you read the blessing from his father, before we get to chapter 28, it was never about the blessing of Abraham. It was never about the blessing of Abraham. So here we are now, Jacob, 40 years of age. His relationship with his brother is tore up. Anybody know about tore up relationships? Why? Oftentimes when we get in our flesh, we tear things up, don't we? Oftentimes when we're pursuing power and wealth, because if you go back and you study what Jacob was trying to do, basically the birthright blessing was about power and wealth. And oftentimes it's when we start pursuing power and wealth, that's when we mess ourselves up. Oh, what are we pursuing today? So Jacob here, 40 years of age, his father calls him. How many know it's time to make the journey count? You can go another 40 years using the same tactics and strategies that you've used prior, or you can do differently. You can go in the next year using the same bad strategies that you used this year. Or you can go into the new year and do differently. I encourage and exhort all of us to make your journey count. Notice here, the first thing, it says that Jacob was called by Isaac. Called, blessed, and charged. So the first thing that I want you to remember to make your journey count is to ground your journey in the call, the blessing, and the charge of God for your life. And guess what? Jacob had to understand the call of God for his life. he had to understand that his birth order had nothing to do with the call of God on his life. All of us in here are called. Your job is not your calling. Me preaching and teaching is not my calling. This is just something we do. I've been called to be righteous before God. I've been called, you've been called to be in fellowship with God. You've been called, we've been called to know who he is. When you understand that we've been called, I like to also use the word you've been chosen. You've been elected. All of us in here, if you are hearing the word of God, I believe that you have been chosen to know who God is. You didn't happenstance upon hearing about God. You've been chosen. The question is, as Jacob had to do, are you going to listen to that call? But once you understand your call, you got to know the blessing. It says that Isaac blessed Jacob. A lot of people want the blessing of God, but they don't want the call of God. How many know the blessing comes with the call? You can't separate the call and the blessing. If you want the blessing of God, you've got to honor and respect and receive and accept the call of God. A lot of folk want God to bless their mess. How many know God ain't blessing mess? God is blessing his purpose for your life. And that's the only thing that he's going to bless. He called him, he blessed him, and he charged him. He charged him. He said, go and get you a wife, but don't get any of these women around here. I need you to go back to Haran. Go to where your grandfather is, your uncle. And I want you to find someone there. Oh, somebody said, well, why was that important? Well, that was important because the Messiah was coming through that bloodline. And they had to keep it pure. See, Jacob and Esau had the same options. They came from the same parents. But Esau, the scripture says that he was profane. He despised his birthright. What does that mean? He underestimated it. He considered it insignificant. It wasn't important. It was something he could kind of do without. I mean, you know, there are many among that think that salvation is something that they can do without. I would say to us today, don't be an Esau. And while Jacob had his faults, Jacob also understood the responsibility of the call. He understood the responsibility of the call and the charge. What charge is God giving you? What did God tell you to do this year that you didn't do? What is God telling you to do next year? Where is God telling you to serve? What gift is God telling you to get activated? Ground your journey in the call, the blessing, and the charge of God for your life. Now, I want to talk very quickly about this blessing. If you go down to verse 3, Isaac blesses Jacob, and look at what he says. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. I want to pause right there. May God Almighty bless you. We interpret that as may El Shaddai bless you. We know El Shaddai as God Almighty. But let me give you another interpretation. El, meaning power. Shaddai, power that overcomes all power. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't live in this nation with all the drama it has without knowing who God is. Amen. I wouldn't work for the folk I work for. And y'all know who I work for. Without knowing who God is. I wouldn't minister and do anything without knowing who God is. Let me tell you something. The best thing you can do for your life is accept his call. The best thing you can do for your life is to know who he is. See, there are some situations waiting on you that you can't fix. There are some things that you didn't fix this year. What did it took God. And make no mistake, I don't care how much money you get. You can't fix some things coming your way. Why? Because there's one thing for sure. God says he's not giving his glory to anything and anybody. He'll share it with no one. So he'll not allow anything in your life to supersede and precede who he is. So just bank on some situations occurring that you're going to need God Almighty. Oh, I know you got your name and I know you got your IRAs and your CDs, but believe you me, the day is coming and it's not far away that you're going to need El Shaddai. You're going to need God to go into your situation and say yes when everybody else said no. Oh, you're going to need El Shaddai. El Shaddai, I'm so grateful for the fast. I'll tell you this, one testimony. Before I became superintendent, you all, many of you know, some of you may know, I was working in DeKalb County in the school system. And I had worked in over teaching and learning for 7 years through several superintendents. But I was the consistent visionary for teaching and learning in the county. I applied to be superintendent. They didn't want me. I was okay. But that year, under the new superintendent, I felt a leading in my spirit that was time. It was time for me to exit that organization. And so my wife and I said, should I resign? And she said, no, don't resign. Let's wait. But that year, Pastor, we went on the fast. And I fasted for clarity for 31 days. Well, let me show y'all something. It doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen. On February 21st, after the fast, I was called in by the new HR chief. I was given a letter saying that basically they no longer wanted me to be a part of this organization. I told them. I said, because you hadn't done anything or said anything that God hadn't already shown me. So before that day was over, that night by 9 p.m., I had submitted my letter of resignation for the end of June. And then I said, I'm going to take off some days and go take care of my mama who was sick with cancer. And I'm just going to trust God for my next assignment. By June of that year, I was hired in Clayton County as the chief school improvement officer. Within the first year of being hired in Clayton County, I was appointed superintendent. Now, what am I trying to tell you here? Ground your journey in his call for your life. Ground your journey in his blessing for your life. See, one thing I'm clear about, I'm not always clear on some things, but I'm clear on this, that when God says something, he's gonna do it. One thing I'm clear, when God says, I will bless those who bless you, he's gonna do it. And so, you know, a lot of folk exegeted and hermeneutic and all that kind of stuff. I just call it what it is. If God did it for Abraham, if God did it for Isaac, then I believe God can do it for me. If God took some impossible situations and gave them the victory, then I believe I serve the same God. If he did it for them, if I trust him, I believe that he'll do it for me. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to always work out the way I want it to work out. But I do know this,
that Romans tells me no matter how it works out, because I love him, and most of all, he loves me, that it's all working for my good. So it doesn't matter what you do to me. Oh, I'm like David, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. Listen, I've been young, and I'm now a little older, turn 50 this year, Pastor, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I want you to know today that we're still standing today. Oh, and you will keep standing if you ground your journey in his call, his blessing, in his charge. See, I know the charge that God has placed upon my life. My charge is to live before him, to walk holy before him. And whenever I deviate from that path, he has a way of... The scripture said, those he loves, he chastens. So wherever the Lord chasing me, it just reminds me, oh, he loves you. He wants you to get back on the right path. It doesn't mean I hadn't made mistakes. I made tons of them. But you know that the blessing of the Lord is unconditional. Oh, God says, I haven't blessed you. Hallelujah. So ground your journey. Ground your journey in the call, the blessing of God, the charge of God for your life. Stop trying to do life on your own, people. If you're not saved out there, stop trying to do life on your own. It's just a mirage. You can't do it. You can't navigate something you didn't create. You got to walk with him who created your life. You got to let him talk to you. You got to let him speak to you. You got to let him tell you to shut up when it's time to shut up. Speak up when it's time to speak up. You need the Lord. Oh, you need the El Shaddai. So I love all of you. But let me tell y'all something. El Shaddai is somebody. Oh, he's still the same. He said, I'm the Lord and I change not. He's still doing work in miracles. He's still performing miracles. He's still blessing us. Let me tell you one other situation I had. This was when I was younger. But I was in college, and they told me I didn't have enough financial aid to pay to stay. They called me to the financial aid office, and they said, we don't have any more money for you. You got to withdraw and go home. I was about to withdraw, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, you go to your room, and you pray. I went to my room. I lay before God, and I reminded God of what he said in his word. I prayed myself straight to sleep, took a nap in the middle of the day, but then I got up, and I heard the God in me say, now go back to the financial aid office. So I went back. Old man named Mr. Gentry, I remember him, God rest his soul. He said, oh, Beasley, while you were gone, we found some more money. Now, I'm not saying every time I prayed for money, I got money. But I can tell you that time I got some. When I needed it. Why? Because I believe God had charged me to be at that particular place, to get that education, to do what he's called me to do in my life. So ground your journey in his call. If you're not saved today, stop playing with the devil. The devil don't mean you any good. He is a bad lover. He is no good. He will do you any kind of way. If you're going to spend your time with somebody, spend it with someone who loves you. Spend your time with somebody who cares about you, who has your best interest at heart. Spend your time with El Shaddai. Do what he's called you to do, as Jacob did. He had an experience. Notice, Jacob went where he was going. He had to lay down. They believe he traveled about 40 to 50 miles in one day on foot. But he was tired. He ended up in a very stony, hard place. Anybody been in a hard place before? Oh, and guess what? You're going to have to go through some more hard places. But that's okay. Because it's in those hard places
that God will give you rest and that God will open for you the heavens so you can see. What did Jacob see? Jacob saw a ladder. You all heard the story. I don't have to read it again. Angels ascending and descending. Oh, what did that mean? Access. 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 What do you mean? God is taking your natural and put some super on top of it. Stop trying to walk through this life without him. Stop trying to handle your life without him. Stop trying to love people without him. Stop trying to be perfect without him. Learn to remember that God has come into your life to give you something supernatural. And the angels were ascending and descending it. But most importantly, if you read the text, it says that the Lord himself was standing at the top. Record, basically letting us know that God is in authority. He is the authority. I know a lot of folk think that they got your life in their hand, but I want you to understand that they don't. Your life is under the authority of God. And if your life is under the authority of God, rest assured, God is going to ensure that he does everything that he promised that he would do. So Jacob had an experience with God. And notice it says that God revealed to Jacob through the dream. He says, I am the Lord God. I am the powerful God, but my name is Yahweh because I care for you. I'm interested and I want you to know who I am. But notice what he told Jacob. I got to read this to you. Notice what he says. I am the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Now, why was that important? Because the land on which he lied belonged to somebody else. And most of the time in their little city states in Canaan, each city had their own God. And they believed that their God protected them to keep their land. So when God told Jacob that I'm going to give you this land, what God was saying was, I'm bigger than any God who's around here. I don't care what they say their God is. I am the Lord. And you got to know that, young people, old people, middle-aged people, you got to know that he is the Lord. Don't navigate this life without the understanding of who he is. He is the Lord. And I know, don't let this era, this age of reason and enlightenment, don't let it fool you to make you think that we don't need God. Oh, you need him. Don't make the mistake of thinking that somehow you can do this journey without him. You can do the journey without him, but I grant you it won't be a good journey. Because he is what makes the journey good. He is what makes it good. He says, I will give you to you and your descendants. And he said, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You'll spread abroad. And then he says in verse 14, and in your seed, I have to always connect the old to the new. The seed is Jesus. So if you're wondering, why do we read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because the promise of God was given to them to bless all the families of the earth. You know why you need to ground your journey in God? So your families can be blessed. And I don't mean just in your lifetime. When you're dead and gone, you need to leave a legacy of righteousness, a legacy of knowing who God is, a legacy of trusting God, a legacy of believing God in the middle of it all, a legacy. Know who he is. He said, I don't know him. Don't leave here today without knowing him. He's revealing himself to us every day. Every day. You say, how do I know that he's the true and living God? All you got to do is see that when he speaks, he connects it to what he's already said. and he brings it to pass. He is the Lord God Almighty. Your experience with God should cause something to happen in you. It says that Jacob awaked. He awakened out of his sleep. When you have a real experience with God, you will also awaken out of your sleep. Are you up today? A lot of folk are using that term woke. Are you woke? Are you woke today? Are we woke today? If you don't know who God is, you're not woke. If you're living this life without him, you're not woke. If you're trying to do your journey without grounding it in his experience, you're not woke. But Jacob, after 40 years, finally woke up. But when you wake up, how do you know that you've woken up? So you ground your journey in the call, the blessing, and the charge of God. You ground your journey in an experience with God where he reveals to you who he is. But then you, once God has done his part, you have a responsibility to respond to God. You got to ground your journey in the proper response to God. The scripture says that Jacob awaked. He woke up and he had a sense of reverence and fear, and he recognized that God, the Lord, is in this place. I just didn't know it. How many times has God spoken and been in a place, but you just didn't know it? But once you are awakened, you recognize that he is in this place. God wants every soul in here to be awoke. He wants you to know that he's in this place. And this place could be wherever he is. It could be today in this sanctuary. It could be in your car. It could be in your house. Wherever it is, he wants you to know that his presence, his protection, his provision, his providence is where he is. If you would just respond to him. So Jacob woke up, took his stone that he used as a pillow, set him up as a pillar, poured oil upon them, and he made a decision. He just basically set up a memorial. Make your journey count. All that stuff you've gone through, give your life to God so it can account for something. He took all of those rocks, he poured oil upon them. What was he saying? I'm going to make this the rest of my journey count. From this day forward, now that God has shown me who he is, I'm going to make it count. As a matter of fact, if God would just do what he said he's going to do, then he's going to be my God. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to commit to him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to honor him. When he said, I'll give him a tenth, that was just his way of saying that whatever I have belongs to God. The best thing you can give him is your life, is your trust. I encourage you today to make your journey count. If you don't know who he is, God is calling you today. And I want to be very clear. The day you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's here. He's given us all the opportunity to know the seed, Jesus. The blessing of Abraham is not wealth and riches. The blessing of Abraham is justification, the gift of righteousness, that you might be right before God, that you might spend eternity in the presence of God. God has done his part. Jacob recognized that. Now it's time for us to do our part and respond to God by committing to God.
So as we leave this year, I want all of us, let's renew ourselves and dedicate our journey to God. Stop trying to do it your way. Give your journey to God. Give your life to God. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect, but you'll be justified. Doesn't mean that trouble is not coming, but it's okay. You'll be justified. It doesn't mean that everything is going to work out the way you want it to, but that's okay. You'll be justified. You'll have a relationship with the most important being, the Lord, through Jesus Christ. Make your journey count. Make your journey count. Get to know who He is. Get to know who He is. Commit to who He is. Spend time loving God. Understanding His love for you. Trust Him. Believe Him. You can't ever go wrong trusting God. You can't ever go wrong trusting God. You can't ever go wrong trusting God. I told someone the other day, they had to leave work because they're dealing with sickness and they're fading away. And I put my arms around them and I said, always believe, trust God until you no longer can believe and trust God. You never go wrong trusting God, because the worst thing that can happen to you is that you die trusting God. God bless you today. God keep you. God bless you. God calls His countenance to shine upon you. May you know who He is. May you know who He is. May you know His name, that you might trust in Him. God bless you.